Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your producer, Kevin Finn. Lee and Stone are out of the studio today, but we have a special guest host, Lisa Decker. She's a veteran to the Business Radio X mic. Welcome, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. Well, you brought quite a few people with you today, and they all look very knowledgeable. I can't decide who's best dressed, though. We normally have a best dressed competition, but they all look pretty snazzy.
Yeah, this is a good crew I have with me here today. I'm very, very excited to share with your listeners about the special guests here who are going to be presenters at the Divorce Help and Hope Fair coming up in the fall. So we've got some fantastic legal advisors. We're going to talk about some emotional support, and then we're going to get into some deep dive into some money matters and tax issues and all that good stuff.
Well, I know that stuff no one likes to talk about, but everyone needs to learn about it, definitely.
Well, let's hope not everyone.
Not everyone.
But, divorce touches a lot of people's lives.
It really does.
And it's really important that even if you're not thinking about divorce, that you know a little bit about this information, enough that you can help out a friend or a family member, a neighbor. Someone is going to be in need somewhere. And by getting people information up front that they need to know, we can help them make smart decisions from the start.
Definitely. Well, it's a big emotional decision that leads to some financial turmoil later. So
yep.
All right, well, why don't you introduce us who's in the studio with us today?
Well, here we have Marquita Johnson. She is with Hope Counseling, and she's going to talk to us about making smart decisions from an emotional standpoint. We also have Eric John, who is with ECJ Tax and Financial, and he's going to be talking about the money and the taxes. And then we have Damon Bivick and Suzanne Prescott with Bivick, Brubaker, and Prescott Law Firm. So we've got a well-rounded crew to talk with folks about the fundamentals that they should be covering when it comes to divorce.
Well, sounds great. Well, let's get to it. Who's first?
All right. Marquita, good morning. Thank you for being in the studio here.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Great. Well, I so believe that when we are talking about matters of divorce, that the emotions can run rampant and prevent people from making wise decisions. So I want to start with you and talk about how people can find a way to deal with the myriad of emotions that can, you know, really run them into a train wreck with their divorce if they don't get a handle on that. I mean, it is an emotional process, so, you know, it's a very difficult thing, but they can you can help them with some coping mechanisms to make smarter decisions. Can you share some of those with us?
Oh, absolutely. The first thing to think is it's like a roller coaster ride. It's ups, downs, and all around. So the first step is to just take a step back from the situation and kind of think so that you won't be reactive, but you will be able to look at the situation and see what is my part that I'm playing in it, what is my role right now, and what would be the best outcome, not only for myself, but also for my children, and also for my ex-spouse. How am I going to move forward with a healthy relationship with this person? So the first thing to do is just to step back and to really think about what you want the situation to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, instead of being so reactive because we're emotional. You know, we're not thinking about, well, how is this person going to react? How am I going to handle the children? It's a lot to manage. Mm-hmm. So the first thing to do is just to step back and to really grab a hold to what is going on, what is happening. Because you're right now you're in shock. You're in denial. When somebody says divorce, you're thinking, oh, my God, life is ending for me and my children, and I don't know what's going to happen. So we start to get so emotional. So the first thing I would do is to take a step back and to seek out help. Don't feel like you're alone in it. You're not. You have so many resources, so many people that can help you. So reach out for that help, that lifesaver, that friend, that therapist, that pastor, all the people that are around you that can help you, family members, seek out your support.
Let me stop you with that one. I want to caution people about taking advice from friends and family, well-meaning, because
right.
sometimes I find that they fan the flames. You know, they mean well, but, you know, they really don't understand the situation at hand. And so I'd like them to talk to someone who is qualified, a trained
right.
therapist like
Absolutely.
Yourself.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your background a little bit here.
I have a Master's of Divinity and a Master's in Community Counseling, and I provide individual group therapy, and I'm also a certified step family specialist, and I'm also a distance credential counselor, so doing some online counseling, video, chat, and email counseling, so really getting to the people that can't get right to me in my office. So
that's great.
Yeah.
You're giving them options.
Right, absolutely. Everybody's so busy nowadays, and you have to be able to provide the clients with different options and modalities for therapy for them.
Wonderful. Now, I know you also do a special program on blended families, step families. Can you
right.
tell us a little bit about some effective co-parenting techniques?
Absolutely. Well, we don't like to use blended. Only term wise, because when you think of a blender, you're putting everything into it and mixing it up, and you can't tell the difference from one thing to another. So we want people to understand that in step families, you want them to be healthy and be able to keep their identity. A lot of times, step families, you want to kind of throw everybody in and say, okay, play nice now. And a lot of times it just doesn't work that way. So you want to take the individuals in the family and create new family coping skills, new things that the family does, like for Christmas and birthdays and things like that. So you don't want to always lean on the old things that one family member did or with their previous family. You want to create some new things that the whole family can agree on to do together, because everybody's working together on this, and this is something new, and it could be very scary and anxious for everybody that's involved. So you want to take everybody's considerations and feelings into account.
Okay.
So we want to do healthy step families, and we don't want to stick them in a blender.
Okay. That gives us quite the picture, so I get that. Well, can you tell us about what are some of the new innovative therapy techniques that you can offer to individuals and families that are coping with divorce? Maybe they've just come into this process and they're, you know, like you said, they've been hit with it. Maybe they've been thinking about it for a long time, but now it's time to move forward. How can you what tips can you provide for folks to help them in moving into the process of divorce?
Right. It's like the grief process, and a lot of people don't view it such as that way, but you're losing a person that was a part of your life and that you share your household with, you share finances with, you share memories, good and bad, and all between. So it's important for that person to realize that it's takes time. It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight, and no one can dictate to you how long and, you know, how long you have to feel this way and feel down. It's easy for somebody to kind of look in on your situation and tell you, oh, you should be over it by now. You should just move on. You should be dating other people. They're more fish in the sea. It's not that easy. So to pay attention to what is going to work for you and what's working for you, seek out groups with other women. I offer a support group down in McDonough to help women that are newly divorced or that have been divorced for some time to really get in tune with what do you want out of life. What is it that you want to go? Where is it that you want to go from here? How do you want to move forward with developing your life? It's time to focus on you. So it's time to be a little selfish. It's time to really focus on you and what's going to help you in this healing process.
And it's interesting, you know, there are a lot of support groups, and I'm on the board of Visions Anew, and we also are now serving men, but getting men to seek support is a whole different story, and, you know, we'd like to change that, because
yes.
there are emotional aspects for males and females, and we want to provide support all the way around. Do you have any tips for the guys out there?
Open up. Let's talk about it. Let's share your feelings. And actually, I have men that come in therapy now. I think it's moving toward the way that they realize that I've tried everything else. let's try this. But I'm going to say, let's try it first. Don't try everything else and let it be your last resort. So seek out counseling, seek out help from a professional that can help you navigate these uncharted waters that sometimes, you know, are just overwhelming for a person that has it all together. It can be overwhelming. So that's what I would say to them. Don't look at it as a weakness. It's actually a strength to know that I need help. Help is available. I'm sinking, I'm drowning, and someone's there to help me. So that's actually a sign of wisdom to know that this is outside of my scope of practice. Like, I can't get any further doing what I'm doing. I need some help. So that's awesome. What I would say to them.
Great. And, you know, what I would say is, you know, none of us in this room are advocates for divorce. You know, absolutely. We really would rather see people stay married. And possibly if they would go for counseling prior to, we might not see them on the other side.
Absolutely.
So open up and have those dialogues really when you're, you know, communicate well through your marriage. And when you need some help, reach out and get some professional help. Well, thank you so much, Marquita. Why don't you tell folks how they can reach you and your phone number and all that good stuff.
Well, you can follow me at My Hope Counselor on Twitter, and my office is located in McDonough, Georgia. It's Hope Counseling, and you can give me a call, 678-463-8653, and let's start the healing process together. Let's work on getting you the help that you need.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to switch gears here now. We're going to talk about the questions around the legal aspects of divorce. And boy, this is a hot topic here. Damon and Suzanne and I have worked on quite a few cases together. And, you know, we see the good, the bad, and the ugly in divorce. And, you know, we work on trying to keep it in the more in the good realm because, you know, we can help folks make the best of a difficult situation. And unfortunately, there are times when it can get blown up and it can really become that ugly divorce, and that doesn't serve anyone. So how, Damon, let's start with you and you know, talk about some of the things that folks should know when they're seeking a divorce attorney, some of the questions they should ask.
Absolutely, and thanks again for having us on the show, Lisa. We're happy to be here.
Wonderful.
One of the biggest things that people do is exactly what Marquita was saying, is they come to attorneys in a very reactive state of mind. And a big mistake that they make is, oh, I'll just rely on my attorney to do everything for me. Mm-hmm. The attorney can be my counselor. The attorney can be my tax planner. The attorney can just take care of my whole life and fix everything for me. I just got to go see the attorney and just write him a check or write her a check. Huge mistake. Mm. Huge. Because attorneys only wear one hat. We're legal experts. We're not tax experts. We're not emotional experts. And if someone comes to us in a very reactive state of mind and doesn't have that balance and that perspective, or that, you know, they come to us angry and they just want to punish a spouse, it can be music to an attorney's ears in terms of billable hours, but it's not going to do the person very much good in terms of progressing to a point where they can get divorced in a healthy and happy way. So seeking a counselor first, making sure you involve multiple professionals throughout the process to get best educated is a really important first step.
And I love that you say that, and that's why we have a team here, because divorce really should be a team approach. You should not look for any one professional to carry the load of everything. Everybody has their own specialty, and all of those specialties bring expertise to your divorce situation, and that's why we're having the Hope and Help Fair to help educate people on all of the different aspects. So wise words there, Damon. Thank you. Suzanne, why don't you tell us about some of the options that people have in divorce and what those options look like and maybe some of the pros and cons to those?
Sure. Thanks again for having us today.
My pleasure.
Excited to be a part of this and getting the information out to folks who need it. So, you know, a lot of people aren't educated about the divorce process and think that it has to be full steam ahead to litigation. And that's not the case. Just because a case gets filed doesn't mean that it's going to be a year-long, nasty, knockdown, drag-out. There's several different approaches to get the ultimate result, which is dividing up assets and dividing up the family. But ultimately, it's the client's choice. As Damon was saying, you know, we can be advisors. We can offer different methods and, you know, work with the client to see what their goals are. But ultimately, they're the driver. So, you know, I think it's important for clients to understand that, you know, they are the ones you know, who will ultimately have the decisions. And we just have to explain, okay, so we can sit down with your spouse and his or her attorney. We can, the four of us, try to work on things. We can have a formal mediation session where there's a third party neutral who's available to help bridge the gaps. Or, you know, it, that may not be possible. We may not be able to reach an agreement. We may have to have a judge step in and make the ultimate decision. But it doesn't have to be that way from the get-go.
That's very important for folks to know. And I think a lot of people hear the word divorce and they immediately think about, you know, the high-cost litigated divorce situation where they're going to end up and let a judge or a jury decide for them. And most people aren't aware that 95% of cases do settle out of court. Even if they're scheduled to go to court, many times things get settled right there on the divorce, courthouse steps.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's because it really is a crapshoot kind of going into that courtroom and letting some stranger decide for you.
Exactly. I tell my clients all the time, I said, would you let Judge Jane down the street tell you what to eat for breakfast? No. I mean, I choose what I eat for breakfast. And I say, well, you're going to let Judge Jane tell you what to do with your money and tell you what to do with your children? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And so I think if clients kind of understand that, they're more likely to sit down with the other side in the mediation session or try to approach the case in a collaborative manner, which ultimately will save money
mm-hmm.
and will save emotional, you know, hardship.
Right.
Because litigation is not only costly, it's extremely damaging emotionally.
To a family before and after a divorce, yeah.
Absolutely.
And the most illuminating thing about what Suzanne just said is Suzanne and I hear that from the judges themselves. Mm-hmm. When we go into court, the judges are disappointed to see us. The first thing they say is not, oh, welcome to court. I'll you know, present the evidence and I can't wait to hear the witnesses. The judges express disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
They feel disappointed about, well, you're going to let me take a hacksaw to your life in the span of oftentimes trials are 3-4 hours. And a judge is expected to decide who should get primary custody of the children, how the assets should be divided. And the judges are very hesitant and reluctant to do that. They, of course, will, but they are always encourage mediation, alternative dispute resolution. Anything you can do to solve your problems on your own with your attorneys is typically a lot better result than you're going to get from what a judge is going to do, just throwing darts sometimes at a dartboard and seeing where it lands.
And that I've found to be so true. You know, there was a training recently at the Georgia Bar, legal and financial training, and they had a panel of judges, three different judges, three different counties. They gave them all the same fact patterns, and they all came back with different decisions. And they said the takeaway for all of you folks in the room is get your clients to settle on their own and make their own decisions because, you know, we rule on law, but we also have our own biases. And so much of it is going to be based on what judge you get in a case. So a good attorney, an effective attorney like you guys, know that walking into a case, who's the judge assigned to the case? And that's going to be a lot of the strategy behind it. How does that judge rule in cases that like your clients. So you've got to talk with your attorney and get this background information that's so critical to making choices in your case.
Absolutely.
So why don't you guys share with us some of the biggest mistakes that you see made in divorce?
The biggest mistakes at the outset that I see are just common mistakes that consumers make in general. You know, they will go and hire the first lawyer that they meet with. A lot of times people come to see an attorney at the last minute when things have gotten really bad. Let's say they've been served with papers and they're on day 29 and they've been told, oh, I've got 30 days to respond to this. I have to go and get an attorney now. Huge mistake. If you've been served with papers, start doing your research early. Don't hire the first lawyer that you meet. Meet several different attorneys. It's just like shopping for anything else. You don't want to just look at one and buy the first thing that you see. You've got to interview multiple attorneys, see who you're most comfortable with, and then make an informed decision afterwards. And do your research ahead of time on the attorney. With the internet, with advertising, there are so many resources out there where someone can use Google, someone can read reviews about what other clients have said about their experience with a particular attorney's office. So don't just go into an attorney's office blind, but make sure you do your research in advance. Make sure you have as much of your financial information in order as you can. One important thing, one big mistake that people don't realize, because a lot of people don't work with attorneys. A lot of times, if someone's going through a divorce, it'll be their first experience in working with an attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, attorneys charge by the hour, and a lot of times they charge by increments of 7 to 10 minutes. And if attorneys are charging between $2 and all the way up to $500 an hour, you can imagine how quickly money gets eaten up.
Mm-hmm.
And the clients who are disorganized, the clients who come to us before having seen a counselor, the clients who come to us with all kinds of tax questions and real estate questions and maybe don't even know where their tax returns are, those things are going to eat into so much of the time that if a person would just get financially organized first, talk to a counselor first, talk to their CPA first, gather up all of their financial information and get an idea of what the assets and debts are, and come to us in a balanced emotional state, it's going to be a lot better and easier for the attorney to work with that kind of a person, and it's going to be a lot more efficient for that person's bill.
Mm-hmm. They're much more cost-effective to get some of those ducks in a row first. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, and another big mistake is exactly what Suzanne was saying before, was the clients are in the driver's seat. We're not going to decide how you want to do your divorce. So it's important that you get educated on all of the different options. So ask your attorney. Have a list of questions to ask your attorney. What is mediation? What is litigation? What is a collaborative divorce? Do we have to do mediation at the courthouse? Can we have an informal settlement conference? Do we have to do mediation at all? Can we just write up a proposal and send it to the other side? Those are all great questions, and ask them, what are the pluses and minuses of each one? Well, what if he doesn't sign it? And the attorneys can give you options and guidance, but if you're not asking the right questions, a lot of times you may not get the right answers back. So,
Well, Suzanne, can you tell us like some of the questions about who should file first or where you should file, what county, if they live in different counties? Are there pros and cons to those things?
Sure, absolutely. I'll speak on that. So I typically tell my clients when they ask, does it matter who's the first one to file, that it does not matter. Legally speaking, the only advantage, if it even is an advantage, is that the plaintiff, who is the first person to file, once you are in a litigation session, they get to have the first word and the last word.
Hmm.
So, you know, sometimes I guess it could matter, but ultimately I don't feel that it matters whether or not the client comes to me and, you know, they want to file or if they prefer to wait for their spouse to file. Either way, you know, the judges don't say, oh, that person's the plaintiff, so he's right.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work that way. But
may give a little leg up in court,
it
but
does.
Most of the time not going to be there anyway. So.
It's nice to always get the last word. You know, we lawyers like that. But it's not going to sway the judge one way or the other.
Okay. And what about if there are two separate counties? Would you look at which county might be better?
Looking at which county might be better, it's a term of art that we call forum shopping. You know, Damon and my law office is in Cobb County, so we, of course, like Cobb County. Cobb County is our home turf. We know the judges extremely well. We're comfortable there. The courthouse is a mile from our office. So anytime we can get away with, you know, based on the jurisdictional and venue rules, we prefer to file in Cobb County. But we handle divorces all over the state of Georgia, and it just depends on if mom and the child are in Cobb County and dad's, you know, somewhere else. You know, it just kind of depends on what the situation is, how long he's been out of the house. There are rules, you know, regarding that we do have to follow. But where possible, of course, Damon and I much prefer the judges in Cobb County because we know them best.
And you know, I get a lot of questions from folks who live in separate states. There may be, my understanding is there may be an advantage to filing here if your spouse is somewhere else, to filing first here, because this becomes the jurisdiction then where the divorce is filed. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
So that prevents somebody from having to travel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of little rules that you've got to follow when it comes to jurisdiction and venue. It's not really a matter of choosing where you want to have the litigation. It's more of a matter of looking at the rules and where you're allowed to.
Mm.
So, and the general rule of thumb in any lawsuit, divorce or civil, any type, is you typically always have to file the lawsuit in the county where the defendant resides.
Oh.
So it's not always easy to file a divorce when you have an out-of-state defendant, unless that defendant hasn't been out of state for a certain period of time, typically 6 months, or unless that out-of-state defendant is actually going to consent and submit himself to the jurisdiction. So you definitely want to consult with a lawyer about that. There are so many specific rules with Georgia's domestic relations long-arm statute, with residency requirements, with what it takes to establish residency somewhere else, with the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act. There's all different kinds of rules and regulations. So definitely that's a great question to ask your lawyer. Where should I file? Where can I file? Are there advantages? Are there disadvantages? But it's definitely not a situation where it's just a race to file first, because the rules, regardless of whoever filed first or second, are going to determine which court ultimately has jurisdiction.
Wow. See, there's so many things that folks don't know that can get them tripped up, and that's why when people say they're going to file on their own pro se litigants, you know, we say, oh, wow, you don't know what you don't know. And even if, you know, money is tight and you don't have the money to hire an attorney on a full retainer, listen, unbundled services, take an hour of an attorney's time and find out the things that you need to know, because 1 hour with an attorney, with a financial advisor, with a therapist can change your life, change the course of your future. So this is not a time to go it alone.
Suzanne and I always say the same thing. Do not be penny wise and pound foolish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times, Suzanne, people have come to us after they've filed and already messed everything up and said, here, fix this.
Yeah, a lot more money.
It's a lot more expensive to fix it than to do it right.
And some things can't be fixed. Mm-hmm. Some things are permanent, and that's a big problem. So thank you guys so much. Why don't you give the audience your contact information, how they can get a hold of you?
Sure. We are a law firm. It's called Bivick, Brubaker, and Prescott. We practice exclusively in the area of family law, so everything from divorces to adoptions to divorce-related modifications. We are based out of Marietta, Georgia. Our telephone, but we handle cases, as Suzanne mentioned, all over Georgia. Our telephone number is 404-889-8320. And our website is www.bbp, for boy, boy, Paul, lawfirm.com.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you both so much. And now, last but certainly not least, we want to talk with Eric John of ECJ Tax and Financial. And Eric, you and I do a lot of work together on client cases. Eric is a tax specialist and tax strategist. And let me tell you, this man knows strategy. I have been in business for many, many, many years. Before I was in this business, I had a construction-related business. I've worked with CPAs all over the country, and I never really got tax strategy. I got somebody preparing tax returns, but really never delving into what can we do to make the money decisions wiser. So, Eric, you have been fantastic in helping clients understand the tax strategy in divorce and also the tax strategies going forward afterwards for the rest of their lives. Do you have a few wise words when it comes to taxes and divorce that you want to start off with sharing with us here?
Sure. Thank you very much, Lisa, for the invite, and good morning to the radio audience out in America. As a CPA, we want to educate our clients. We want to offer our clients strategy, and we also want to help our clients create goals. Believe it or not, even when preparing a tax return or when a person does their own tax return, the more educated you can be about the tax laws, the more strategic-minded you can be about how you want to structure your, what we like to affectionately call the cement foundations versus a straw foundation, and then also how it relates to both your short, mid, and long-term goals, both as an individual and also as a family. What we like to think of that as is called financial education, and how it specifically relates to divorce is what we have found is that many cases, the one of the spouses may be more educated as it relates to the taxes rather than the other. So what we suggest to the clients is to begin educating yourself. It's not, you don't have to go and get a PhD or get a law degree or CPA license to understand taxes, but it is more about surrounding yourselves with the certain relationships. As many of our colleagues have just said here, it's about being proactive. It's about deciding that I'm going to empower myself. It is about deciding that you want to help create a wealth generation strategy for both yourself and your children. As parents, we are here to increase the overall net worth of both ourselves and our family generations down the line. One effective way to do that is to begin looking at your tax structure. And again, Lisa, in terms of how it relates to divorce, is educating, developing strategies, and goals and passions.
Wonderful. Well, you know, I got to tell you that education is the key, the critical piece to empowering yourself and making smart decisions all the way around. So you don't have to know all of the tax code to become educated. You just need to know who to go to find the right answers from and the questions to ask along the way. And when it comes to taxes and divorce, you know, the things are changing all of the time. So this is not something, again, that you want to go alone. You want to be able to reach out and connect with the right professional to get the information that you need and steer you in the right direction. There are some particular areas, though, in divorce and taxes that can become a big problem for folks. Things like child contingency rules and alimony recapture and other areas that most folks don't know about, nor do they want to know about, but they want you to know about it so you can help them sidestep those problem areas. Can you speak just a bit to those? I don't want you to go into too much detail. We don't want people to have their eyes glazing over, but we do want them to know that there are some problem areas that they should be aware of and how they can prevent that from happening in their lives and their divorce.
Sure. Again, with everything, the more pre-work you can do, obviously the better. With the advent of technology and web systems and Google and the internet, the more research you can do yourself, obviously the better. But more specifically, as it relates to child contingency rules, again, depending on where your family structure fits, will help to determine alimony payments, child support payments, and in terms of alimony recapture, the structure there is you want to create the settlement agreement so that obviously both sides come out as winners, per se. So that, again, with the goal of moving forward with your life, you want to structure that agreement so that you are happy from today down the road and years to come. Again, as Marquita had said, it's a process. It's not something that is an overnight situation, but it's a process. And again, with the child contingency and the alimony recapture, and also when you sell your property, there may be something called the depreciation recapture. Again, these are all rules and regulations that the more proactively you can be to attack the situation. I mean, in our firm, we like to use a term called power. P for proactive, O for being an openness, W for wealth, E for empowerment, and R for relationships. So if you think of that acronym and everything that you do related to your divorce, it will help you to achieve and obtain the best advice possible.
Okay. So, you know, going back to those couple of rules, the idea behind it here, folks, is that you can step into those traps very easily, or you can work with somebody who can put the power in your position by keeping you away from problem areas. Things that relate to alimony and children can lead to potential problems for one spouse or the other or both, and they're not necessary. And again, we're not going to bore you with reading you tax language because we don't want to put anybody to sleep here, but we certainly want you to know that there are some deep, deep holes that you can step into when it comes to divorce. Now, some of the other things we look at, and, you know, Eric and I, we just had a case that we got settled this weekend. Things like, you know, When spouses are fighting over stuff and there's the voice of reason has gone out the window, when there's the emotions have stepped back in and it just becomes this locking of horns because somebody wants to be right, we can come in as financial advisors and show them a way to get to resolution. And we had a case this weekend that was, you know, pretty far apart, and we were able to break it down dollar by dollar by dollar and keep coming up with the different scenarios and working through strategies until we finally got the folks very, very close. I got on the phone and explained to our client, you know, that really what they were fighting over was less than 1% of their entire marital estate. And when I put it to her that way, I think it really broke through the barrier. And I said at the end, look, you can keep fighting over this small amount of money, or you can pay your advisors, your legal team, your financial team to show up in court next week and battle it out for you. So, you know, they were meeting, the husband, the wife, they were meeting to try and work out the last details themselves. And I gave her the language to use with her husband that helped them resolve it. And we were very, very happy to see that it all settled. So having financial advisors who can not only look at crunching the numbers, but also guide you through the process to make wise choices emotionally when it comes to the dollars and cents of divorce, really can make a world of difference in your final settlement, your outcome. And then having someone who can help guide you afterwards in making smart decisions in regards to taxes so that you're taking the same pot of money and you're just dividing it up in a way that keeps more of it in your family unit than, you know, in Uncle Sam's pocket, let's put it that way. So, Eric, would you like to add anything more to what we've talked about here? Any other thoughts come to mind?
The overall strategy that we like to employ is, if a check has to go out to the IRS, and let's use the amount of $10,000, if we could help you to morally, legally, and ethically write only $7,000 to the IRS and $3,000 goes to an entity that you directly or indirectly own, I think most people would want to go that route. But again, in order to get to that level, you have to properly educate yourself. There's a process that you have to go through. You have to create that cement foundation. It's like riding a bike. Most people that know how to ride a bike, when they initially started, their level of fear was very high. But through time, effort, peer pressure, trial and error, you learned how to ride a bicycle, and now you ride it like it's second nature. It becomes more of a subconscious decision. So as it relates to the actual dealing with the attorneys, dealing with the therapist, dealing with your company, as it relates to the certified financial divorce analysis, as it relates to doing and preparing your tax return, even selling your home, everything that you do, you can apply that same strategy to. And again, it's not working harder. It's working more efficiently. It's working more effectively.
Okay. Wise words there. Well, you know, I want to remind everyone that divorce is a process, not an event. I heard Judge Judy say that once. I thought that was so wise. I never forgot that. And, you know, be a proactive partner, not a passive participant when it comes to your divorce. You can steer the course of your divorce. You can stay in the driver's seat, but you do have to have some knowledge and you do have to pick the right team members if you want to have a strategic and effective outcome, not only now, but for your long-term future. And so that's the words that I'm going to wrap up with today. And if folks want to contact me, I can be found at www.divorcemoneymatters.com. And we will look forward to sharing more with you at the Divorce Help and Hope Fair in the fall. And you can find out more details about that at divorcehelpandhope.com. Thank you so much to all the guests today. You guys were wonderful. And we're going to thank you so much to the radio station here, because they're going to have us back for another show here in the summer. And we're going to share more details with you on mortgage and real estate and mediation and insurance and all kinds of other things that people need to know what they don't know.